Back in 1890, there was a novel written by an English novelist and playwright by the name of Oscar Wilde. And the name of this novel is The Picture of Dorian Gray. And what Dorian does in the story is that he wants to have perpetual youth. And so he's willing to exchange his soul in order to remain forever young. And the thing that's interesting is that while his physical appearance to everyone around him remains continually youthful, that the portrait that had been painted by a man by the name of Basil Hallward, with each passing year, the portrait mysteriously becomes more and more ugly. And the portrait represents the interior life of this man who on the outside looks forever young. At the end of the novel, we see the fruit of what has become of Dorian Gray. Here in the portrait is a hideous man, hardly recognizable as a human being. Now, what Oscar Wilde portrays in a novel in the year 1890, may I suggest to you that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, brings forward with a particular urgency and clarity in today's gospel reading. For there is in our world today, in a particular way, a very dark world that when people inhabit it in the way that Dorian Gray does, although on the outside they can remain the same, on the inside they are changing in a very terrible way. And the world that I'm talking about is the one inhabited by the lust-filled heart, deformed through the medium of pornography. How clear Jesus is in his exhortation. And although he's not explicitly talking about online porn, he could be, because the way in which he speaks is so clear. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Now, those here today, perhaps in person, for you this might not be an issue in your life, but there are people that you know, there are people who are watching this live stream video for whom this is an ever-present challenge. The porn industry in the world is worth more than Google, Facebook, and another major social media outlet that I can't remember put together. It's a multi-billion dollar industry. And I want to think about it in two ways this morning, from two perspectives. The first is from the perspective of, quote, the performers. And then most importantly, from the perspective of children. Numerous research studies have indicated that those who perform in these types of movies do not, for the most part, want to be there. It's incredibly degrading, and it's also very, very painful. And it's believed that on most porn sets, there's a doctor present who will give any drug that the performer requests, be it Percocet, Xanax, heroin, whatever they will take in order for them to fulfill the scene, to make it look like they're enjoying what they are doing. But here's the most important dimension of this, I think, and it's about the children. So often, children first come into contact with pornography accidentally. A pop-up on their screen while they're doing something else at the age of 8, 9, 10 begins to pull them into this very lurid and terrible world. And as one commentator and someone who's studied on this subject has mentioned, when children first come into contact with pornography, their initial reaction is that this is something very scary. There's something terrible about it. But as they watch it more and more, what begins to happen is it becomes normalized, and violence is seen as a sex act. And then they get into their teens and into their early adulthood, and they can become very addicted. 3 years ago in the Vatican, there was a three-day symposium on this topic. And one of the keynote speakers was a man by the name of Dr. Donald Hilton Jr. from the University of Texas Health Science Center. Dr. Hilton is a neurologist and surgeon who is an expert in this whole area. And at this symposium, he said the following. Having examined the scientific changes in the human brain when viewing pornography, he said that we have two brains, one being the cortex, which Dr. Hilton called the thinking brain, and the other brain being the brain stem, referred to as the wanting brain. So we've got the thinking brain and we've got the wanting brain. So while the brain might tell us to do something because it feels good, the thinking brain, the cortex, tells us to slow down and think about the consequences. And Dr. Hilton said, between the thinking and the wanting brain, there's what he calls the reward center. And here, often the reward center can be hijacked and diverted. If the thinking brain is able to enact itself often enough, then the reward of doing the right thing and avoiding the wrong can come to be established. But so often what happens, particularly in the developing brain of a young person, is that, as Dr. Hilton says, that they want to reset the pleasure thermostat in the brain. And over time, the wanting brain takes precedent over the thinking brain. And as Dr. Hilton says, it can lead to the sculpting of the brain in such a way that it learns addictive patterns of behavior. And the last thing to say about this for now, children and young adults are particularly at risk for this because the frontal lobe does not completely develop until a person is in their mid-20s. But most exposure to pornography happens at a young age, leaving children particularly vulnerable to changes in the brain structure. He said that children are most at risk because the chemicals for processing rewards and addictions are not yet mature. So there's an immature braking system that accelerates the desire for the reward-seeking activity. And this is one of the reasons why teenagers will take all sorts of risks of all kinds, because that reward, that desire for the pleasure, the stem of the brain, in some ways is what is more and perhaps prematurely developed. So with all of this said, let me conclude by just turning to our reading from Elijah. This is such a pervasive issue in our society, unprecedented in the history of the world because of the internet, that we can feel like Elijah. We can feel that the prophets of Baal, the prophets of this whole kind of way of thinking, are just overwhelming and we are all alone. But that is not the case. That increasingly, there are ways in which families can be supported, that the church as a community wants to be able to accompany and walk alongside people for whom they deal with this type of addiction. And indeed, as a priest, there's nothing I hear more often in confession than the struggle with pornography. For those of you who are watching online who have younger children, do you have any kind of protection on your internet server that will limit access? Again, in the study from 3 years ago that the Vatican did, only 20% of households have any kind of protection to limit what comes into the home. There are all sorts of things that are available. One that we here at St. Peter's can get at a discount. So if you'd like to find out more about this, please email me. Oscar Wilde, writing in the 1890s, knew nothing of the modern porn industry, but he captures clearly the impact that such a dark medium has on our world. And we want to be those here at St. Peter's who are compassionate, who are loving, who accompany people, so that we can hear more and more the small voice of our loving God amidst the din of disordered desire and practice.